Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read 1 through 12, and then I'll pick up again at verse 36, read to 49. So Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at which was come to pass. And then we have the account on the Emmaus road. There was two of them had left Jerusalem and was walking to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared unto them, and by their conversation they were very troubled. And I think Jesus asked them what's going on, and they kind of says they asked him, "Are you a stranger?" Because everyone in Jerusalem knew what was going on. Jesus expounds the word unto them as they walk to Emmaus. Verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. And then it was evening time, they told him to come in for the meal, and then he broke bread, blessed it, and that's when their eyes were open and realized this was Jesus. And verse 34, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told Verse 33, sorry, they returned to Jerusalem and found the rest of the disciples and told them what had happened. And while they were talking, if I think I have this right, it says this is all the same occurrence. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And then the end of the chapter is his ascension. Now let's turn to John 20 yet. And I will I'll just read this whole chapter. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And when she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. But Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. The same day, that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, Thomas being with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And he saith to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and saith unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through his name. Those are the four accounts of the resurrection story. We all know that Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were the two men that buried Jesus in the sepulcher. And the women had watched all this take place. And they saw where the body was laid, they saw which tomb it was, and they saw that the stone was rolled in front of the tomb. And it was done Friday evening. And it seemed to be done, the burial was done rather quickly because of the Sabbath beginning at sunset. So it says they had returned to give, the women returned to prepare more spices and ointments. I think they would use that for their embalming process. But next day being Sabbath, they could not come back to the tomb. So they had rested according to the Sabbath. So we have them coming as early as possible. It says very early in the morning, while it was yet dark. The women were coming to the tomb to, in their mind, they were going to finish the burial process. The spices they were bringing, it was to finish the preparation of the body for a proper burial. And we see as they were... I don't know what all conversations they were having, but one thing they did say as they were coming to the tomb, their main concern was who's going to roll this giant stone, this great stone, away from the door. That was their concern as they were approaching the tomb. They came with no thought that Jesus would be risen. They expected that when they got there, they expected to find the dead body of Jesus. But we know the account, what the Bible says here. Instead of finding that, they found the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. For a message title, that's what I'd like to use, is The Empty Tomb. Now, just look briefly at what does or what can the empty tomb do for you and I today? First point I have here is the empty tomb reveals that God is faithful. God faithfully fulfills his promises. After the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God had promised the plan of salvation, and that's indicated Genesis 3:15. And from the fall of man to when Jesus actually came to earth was in human mind was hundreds and hundreds of years. But in God's time, Jesus came to earth to fulfill what God had promised. And he came at the right moment in God's time. So we see God fulfilling that promise. Jesus coming to earth as was promised way back in Genesis, and it was foretold up through the prophets that Jesus would come. So we see God faithfully did fulfill that promise. And we also see, while Jesus was here on earth, he repeatedly and plainly told his disciples that he was going to be crucified, he was going to be buried, but he would rise again on the third day. Either his disciples forgot that, or they didn't understand it, so they didn't believe it. But we know Jesus fulfilled that promise, his faithfulness to fulfill promises. The disciples had doubted. We see that the women came back from the tomb and told the disciples that Jesus was risen. The tomb was empty. And we have Peter and John running to the tomb. In John 20, verse 8, we see John says he saw and believed. Doesn't indicate Peter, he saw it too, but he said it left, sort of it says in John or one of the others, but he left doubting. Or wondering at like what all took place. He eventually did believe it, but we have John here, according to the John was the only disciple that believed at sight of the empty tomb. But just because the disciples doubted or were slow to believe it did not change the fact that Jesus rose from the dead as he said. God is faithful to fulfill the promises that he gives. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And today we can still be confident that God will accomplish what he has promised. Second point I have, the empty tomb reveals that God is loving. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then also Romans 5:8. Read in our devotions this morning, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 1 John 4:8-10, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why did God provide this plan of salvation? Why did Jesus come to earth to face the cruel death of crucifixion? Why did he rise from the dead? The Bible plainly tells us it's because God's love for me, for you, for each one of us. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants all mankind, the whole world, to believe on Jesus, to become a follower, a born-again Christian, so that we can be saved and have the assurance of eternal life with him. That's the reason we have the crucifixion and resurrection, that there is a way possible that we can be saved and have the promise of life with him. Even the verse out of Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not nothing of what we had done that God did for us. But it's while we were yet sinners, while we were yet unlovely, we were yet rebellious. We were selfish. God provided Jesus because his love for us. And he delights in transforming us by his grace and rescuing us by his love. The third point I have here is the empty tomb should motivate us. When the women saw the empty tomb, what did they do? It says they ran and told the other disciples. Seeing the empty tomb caused the women to do something. One thing is in John, with one of the other accounts, it says they ran with fear, but also with great joy. Are you being motivated to action by your Christian faith? Does the resurrection of Jesus motivate you? Does it motivate me? The other account that's good to read along with the resurrection stories, I won't do it, but is 1 Corinthians 15. Paul goes down the resurrection of Christ as well, and kind of disputing some of the false teaching that was floating around in the church at Corinth. So that's also another good passage to read, 1 Corinthians 15. But at the end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Why does the empty tomb motivate us? It's because of the victory we have through Jesus Christ. I believe the Christian life is more than mere survival. We have victory and life abundantly because of what Jesus did for us. This morning, are we here because we're motivated by the empty tomb. We're rejoicing in what Jesus has done. Or am I here because, well, going to church is a good thing to do, and especially on Easter Sunday, it's kind of, you could say, yeah, it's a good thing to do. Is that the only reason I'm here this morning? Or is it the attitude, or am I here with the attitude that, yeah, I want to be a good Christian, want to be a good church member, but yeah, you don't want to go too far. You don't want to be, I guess you would say, too good. What's motivating me? What's motivating us? Are we abounding in the work of the Lord? Is a half-hearted Christian really a Christian? Seeing how much we can get away with and still claim to be a Christian is not what God is looking for from our lives. Are we living a way that we're always abounding in the work of the Lord? We will be rewarded. It is not in vain. We also have that promise, or the empty tomb gives us that assurance, that confidence, along with motivating us that we have something to live for today and for eternity. The last point I have here is the empty tomb comforts us. When the women and the disciples, upon seeing the empty tomb, they were, it says it brought fear. And then we have the disciples gathering together with the doors locked because they were scared of the Jews, and particularly the chief priests and the elders, because the story that was going around was that the disciples were blamed for stealing the body of Jesus. They didn't know what was going to happen next. The religious leaders, the Jews, had just killed Jesus only a few days previous to this. And now they were being falsely accused. They were scared. Were they going to be killed like Jesus had been? They didn't know. It caused fear. But we have Jesus suddenly appearing in their midst. Luke 24 says they were terrified. They were frightened. Or they thought they were seeing a spirit, because Jesus came through closed doors. And he says, "Why are ye troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts?" And then verse 21 out of John 20, then Jesus said unto them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent you, even so send I." In the midst of their grief, their shock, and fear, Jesus spoke words of comfort. Different times he says, "Peace be unto you. be not afraid. This morning, you and I have times of fear. Because we live in a fallen world, we will face difficult times and things we don't understand. And it can cause us to fear. But we serve a risen Savior, one who rules over everything, has everything in his power, under his control, and it's in him that we can find true comfort. Just the Matthew 28, verse 20, the end of that verse. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. That was, according to Matthew's account, those were the last words Jesus spoke to his disciples. And we can still claim that promise today. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. It can bring us comfort because the one that spoke these words is still alive today. Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. And he is alive forevermore.